The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Such a good job, and wow, that is so very, very neat. Take your Bible and go back to Malachi chapter 4, Malachi chapter 4, if you will, and look at verse 6, where the Bible says, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, we have given several scriptures already in dealing with child-rearing endeavors, such as train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, not depart from it, Proverbs 22:6. And then for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, and there a little, Isaiah 28 and verse 10. We have taught a score of things and when it comes to child-rearing, and I'll not go over even some of the notes that I have as an intro there. I don't want to dive right into it tonight. We'll see Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. We'll see that God has given a promise. Now, the promise is not for those who obey only, but it's for those who obey and honor their parents. And that is the promise that's given in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. But how is it that we can help our children to know how to respond? What can we do as parents as they get, I'm talking about an older teenager now, we're getting closer to that marriage time, but an older teenager, 16, 17, 18, 19 years of age or so, what are some things that you can do to be able to help them navigate some things through in her personal life? Also, with children that are younger, some of these principles may certainly apply. Negative action taught, negative reaction received. Negative action taught, negative reaction received. Let me give you some ideas of what I mean by that statement. Example number one, if he lives with criticism, he will condemn. If he lives with criticism, he will condemn. I've seen this now for many years, a teenager that lives with parents that are critical. What happens is they grow up with a condemning spirit. And now what happens when they become adults, I've noticed this more than not, if they grow up with critical parents, they begin to criticize their own parents. And so what takes place is this: when you teach criticism inside of the home, you are teaching them to condemn many other things, even yourself later on. Statement number next: if he lives with hostility, he will fight. If he lives with hostility, he will fight. You know, if he lives where mom and dad is always bitter and bitterly outward towards each other, the hollering, the anger, the throwing of things, the displaying of that which is ill tempers, what takes place is he's going to learn to be a fighter. Statement number next: if he lives with ridicule, then he'll be shy. If he lives with ridicule, he'll be shy. He's going to be somebody that's going to be a pushover. He's going to be somebody, if you would please, that's not going to have self-confidence if the parents is always ridiculing their child. And by the way, there's a big difference between building confidence in your child and causing your child to be shy. If you build confidence in them, you help them to build that confidence. You know, and much of that is done by the way that you talk to them when they're playing the piano. Instead of coming over pointing out all the mistakes they made, maybe you could come over and say, "Well, I tell you what, that one part right there, you did absolutely phenomenal. Why don't you try that again?" You know, and be able to give them some praise to help build their self-worth. Statement number next: if he lives with shame, he will feel guilty. If he lives with a mom and dad that's always shaming him, shaming her, then what happens is, this is the type of person that would go to the altar and confess a sin, but never feel like God forgave him of the sin. because they're living all the time with that shadow, if you would, that's overcasting them of shame. So they're always just feeling guilty. They just can't get over feeling guilty, you know. And so we have to be careful to teach them how to forgive. Statement number next, positive action taught, positive action taught, positive action received, positive action taught, positive action received. If he lives with tolerance, if he lives with tolerance, then he'll become patient. He'll become patient, okay? Children in church ought not to run around the auditorium or run around the hallways behaving like a bunch of wild animals. I mean, be able to teach them how to be patient till it's time to go out to the lawn and then run around like a bunch of wild animals, okay? All right, statement number next. If he lives with encouragement, if he lives with encouragement, he will become confident. If he lives with encouragement, you know, parents are encouraging him all the time, encouraging her all the time. Then what happens is it builds confidence. Well, I can do this. Yeah, I can do this. I can do this. I can shoot that basket. I can shoot that ball, hit it in the basket. I know I can do it because my daddy told me I could do it. I know that one day I'm going to master that piano. Because, I mean, after all, well, my parents told me that, yeah, I can do it. I can just do it. I know one day I'll be able to take and do good. I'm just do good because my parents, boy, they believe in me. And if they believe in me, it must be true. Must be true. Okay? Statement number next. If he lives with praise, he'll learn to appreciate. If he lives with praise, if you're always praising your child, praising your teenager, you know what they do? They learn to appreciate. I don't know how many times I've seen, especially a daughter, where dad praises the daughter all the time. The daughter turns around and shows great appreciation to the dad because the dad is always praising the daughter. Statement number next. If he lives with fairness, if he lives with fairness, he learns to be just, or he learns justice. He'll learn to be able to make just decisions, right decisions. He learns justice if he lives with fairness, you know. And by the way, that means this. That means parents, when we do wrong, we ought to admit it to our child. Well, I tell you what, I'm never going to admit that I'm wrong. Well, that's then what you're going to raise because, you see, they don't know how to become adult. The only way they know how to become an adult is by the image that you present to them. They've never been an adult before. So they think that you've got it down. They think that you're an A1 player. And so because of that, what they're going to do is they're going to copy you by what you do. Statement number next. If he lives with security, he'll learn to have faith. If he lives with security, okay. So here's a young person who lives with security. I just believe dad can take care of it. Just believe dad can take care of it. I think dad can take care of it. What that does is that helps them to build their faith. I believe God can take care of that because dad told me that's who he's trusting. You see, because if dad is the right type of dad, dad is always going to reflect to the Lord. He's always going to reflect to the Lord. Well, son, let me tell you why I have the wisdom I have in that area. God's been good to me. God's been good to me. Let me tell you why I know what I know in this area. Boy, just God's been good to me. God has showed me some things, and because God showed me some things, I get the privilege to hand it to you. Isn't that neat? We have got a good God. All right? And so if he lives with that security, it builds his faith, you know, to be able to understand how God works in his life. Statement number next, if he lives with approval, if he lives with approval, you know, then he'll like himself. If he lives with approval, I wish that you wouldn't be that way. I wish you'd always be like your sister. Okay? All right, that's disapproval, and because of that, they're not going to have a like for themselves because, after all, you don't like them, so why should they like them? You don't approve of them. I can't believe you shot that ball and you missed that basket. Your brother would have never missed that basket. Okay? So what you're doing is you're saying that the brother you love more than you love me. and that's how they're going to interpret it. Okay? So be careful not to compare them, but give them some approval in the things that they're doing so that they learn to like themselves. All right, so how is it that we can help them day to day? Here's some statements. You ready? Let's go. All right. You are responsible for your child or your children until marriage. You are responsible to them for marriage. Now, you say, well, I don't understand. What do you mean responsible? To teach them, to guide them, to give them guidance in the direction that they should go. Oh, you say, but they're adults. That doesn't mean they're going to take it. That doesn't mean you should stop giving it. You know, be careful to now you can let them know. You don't have to be in their face about it. You can say, hey, I sure do love you, and here's a thought for you. Here's a thought for you. Here's something maybe you ought to consider. You don't have to push it down their throat. You can be kind. You can even be entreating to them if you want so to do. But at the very same time, don't let up. You know, now when they get married, there's the leaving and cleaving act. If I were you, I'd keep your nose out of their business unless you're invited. Keep your nose out of their business unless you are invited. Sylvia and I, we talked when the kids got married, and I said, honey, I think, and she agreed with me right away. I said, we're not going to go to their houses unless invited. You know why? Because that is their privacy. That is their haven. That is where they are together. All right? And so we're trying to help them to be able to bond with each other. The Bible says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, when I thought as a child, and when I became a man, I put away childish things. Okay? And then we pick up adult toys is what we do. Okay? But you're responsible. You're responsible for your children until marriage. Statement number next. Okay? Your young people become what you are. Now, they might not become exactly what you are, but can I tell you, I don't know how many times I've looked in my life and I said, I remember my dad doing that. I remember my dad reacting that way. But I remember my grandpa. I remember that's the way he did that. I remember Mrs. Wagner, Myrtle, I called her Ma. I remember the things she did all the way up until almost the day I got saved when I was in her presence. Boy, I remember. And I catch myself doing some things or certain sayings, if you will, and I catch myself reiterating some of the very same things I heard when I was younger. And by the way, you children, it's kind of fun, but you watch out. You do the same thing. Parents, you watch your children. They do the same thing. You say, I can't believe she's acting that way. She's acting like I did when I was a teenager. You know? Okay. All right. So you're responsible to that child gets married. Then as a young person, okay, they are going to copy what you are. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6 and 7. All right. So there's pretty good reason to set some pretty good testimonies about what you're going to do. You know, they should see you walking with God. They should see you coming to church. They should see you paying attention when a Bible is taught. Oh, you say, but that person that's teaching or preaching the Bible, he's boring. But don't give them the idea that the Bible is boring. So you pay attention because you're interested in Bible truth, not necessarily because of the one presenting it. All right, statement number next. Wean them to daily private devotions. Wean them to daily private devotions. Malachi chapter 6 and verse 8, the Bible says, he hath showed thee, it says, O man, it says, what is good, and what the Lord, now watch what it says, require of thee. Now, how is it? How is it that has shown? Because this person is walking with them, this person is humbly putting themselves before him, and because of that, they're getting to know him. So teach them what it is to have their own private devotions. You cannot spoon feed them all the days of their life. By the way, here's a great testimony. When a teenager comes up to you and says, hey, let me tell you what I got out of the Bible this morning. You know, when they're coming up to you and say, let me tell you what I got out of the Bible this morning, that's a great testimony of probably they're walking with God. Probably they're walking with God. Now, if you in reverse ask your teenager who never comes up to you and says, let me tell you what I got out of the Bible this morning, and you say to your teenager, what'd you get out of the Bible this morning? And they say, they're trying to figure out what they can come up with. I think it was John 3:16. You know, then you probably know that they're not in the Bible like they should be in the Bible. Statement number next, stop their complaining immediately. Stop their complaining immediately. I don't know how many times our young people, our teenagers, when they were teenagers, they would say something. I'd say, how old are you? Well, I'm 16. Okay, well, act like it. You know, don't you're not 12 anymore. You're not 11 anymore. You're 16 years of age. All right, so you need to be thinking like a 16-year-old. You need to be acting like a 16-year-old. Okay? Job 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, my soul is weary of my life. Watch it. I will leave my complaint, it says, upon myself. I will speak in bitterness of my soul. So what's in the heart truly does come out. And by the way, if a young person's always complaining about this, complaining about that, there's something inside of the heart. And now, parents, stop blaming everybody else. Amen. And get real and start praying for your teenager. Because if they're always belly aching about this, and I don't want to go soul winning. I don't want to go into youth activity. I don't want to work a bus route. I'm staying out too long. I want to eat more. I don't want to eat as much. I don't like chocolate cake. I want vanilla cake. I don't like vanilla cake. I told you I want chocolate cake. You know, you say, who are you talking about? I'm not talking about the little children. I'm talking about teenagers. When they're always complaining about something, it's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. And by the way, don't let them get away with the heart problem. Don't pamper them. Well, I'm so sorry. What can I do to help you? What are you going to do? Pay their ticket every time they get one? You're going to have to let them learn some things and to be able to understand what it is to embrace adulthood. Teach them to tithe. Statement number 6. Teach them to tithe and give offering. Teach them to tithe and give offerings. This principle is so, I learned this so many years ago. Well, a man robbed God, yet has robbed me. But you say, wherein has he robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. So God, when we do not tithe and give offering, it's robbing him. Oh, you say, but it's robbing the church. No, God says it's robbing him. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. I've given many times explanation about that. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house and prune therewith. Saith the Lord of hosts, if I not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Now, you know, so here's what happens. The devil wants to destroy you. He does. All right? And if he can destroy the means of your living, then he can get you discouraged. He can pretty well be on the trail to discouraging you to the point of destruction. All right? So God says, hey, look, he says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer. He says, for your sakes. He says, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations, it says, shall call you blessed, and ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. All right? Teach them the blessing of putting God first in their financial world. Why? Because there's going to be a day when you're not around to supply the money they need, and they need to know how to have God's blessings on their financial world. If they don't understand it as a teenager, you need to teach it to them. Statement number next. Let them start buying their own clothes with their own money. You know, they're now working a little bit, and they say, I want my own money to go down to Six Flags. Okay, but you need shoes. Maybe you ought to think about spending some of that money that you want to spend to go down to Six Flags and buy yourself a pair of shoes. I mean, it's not embarrassing us that your two big toes are flaring out on the end, but, you know, it does look kind of dumb, you know. And so, you know, teach them responsibility. Teach them responsibility about buying their clothes. James chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. So teach them what it is to be able to use revenue. It might be, and I know some young people that do this very thing. They buy things low and they sell them high and they make money. I'm talking about our teenagers. They buy things and they resell them. I know you've been wondering where that watch went that you had on your dresser, but I'm telling you, they buy. No, but see, here's what I do understand. You can teach them. Now, teach them. Teach the boys what it is to mow a lawn and maybe earn some money or to throw some papers or girls to do some babysitting, etc., or clean some houses or whatever the case may be, or be able to study to advance themselves so that they can be able to earn more money later. Working at McDonald's should not be, listen to me now, should not be somebody's ambition if they can do better. If they can do better. All right? Now, if you want to work up the chain line there and become a manager, and then now you're managing one McDonald, two McDonald, three McDonald, four McDonald, and you're happy, and, you know, more than a happy meal. I mean, you're just happy. And that's fine. You want to buy a franchise. That's fine. That's fine. I know a young man who's in his 20s, and he bought a Chick-fil-A, you know, and then he bought another Chick-fil-A, and then he bought another Chick-fil-A, and he's doing quite well. He's doing quite well. He's in his 40s right now. He's doing quite well. Got them all paid off, got employees, doing quite well. Okay? Now, can I say this? Can I say it would be good to be able to teach them how to handle some money? It's one thing to go out and stay with me now. It's one thing to go out and barely make it. It's another thing to be able to use your mind to say, how can I better make it plus? Plus. What is it that I can do to be able to provide not just barely getting by for my family, but a nice family living? Think about it and work on it. You're in America. I just do want to remind you of that one. You're in America. You'd be surprised how much you could do here in the United States. Statement number next, do not buy them a car. Do not buy them a car. The Bible talks about when I was a child, I spake as a child. There's some things that they need to learn before you can trust them with the more. I've often said this. Don't say, well, you know, at age 16, you'll be able to do this. At age 18, you'll be able to do this. At, you know, at age 17, you'll be able to do this at this age. Don't say that. You know, let them earn their way by maturity. When you're mature enough and you prove it, then I'll help you to be able to do that. Now, we never bought our children when they were teenagers. We never bought them a car when they were teenagers. We never did that. Now, we did do this. I think we gave them each $1,000 that they could put towards their car. I think that's what we did, if I remember correctly. But we gave them that as a gift. But now, wait. We told them that don't go out and buy yourself a $1,000 car. You know, you ought to at least save up $1,000. Might be better if you save up two. Right. Might be better if you save. Now, we had a rule. You get in an accident, you get a ticket, you pay for your own insurance. Right. We automatically drop you. Love you. But if you get a ticket, it's not my fault. You wreck the car, it's not my fault. All right? So if you wreck the car, you get a ticket, automatically you pick up your own insurance. Okay, so we had some rules. You know, I did not get my license until I was 19 years of age. 19 years of age, right before I went to Bible college. 19 years of age. You say, why? Because my older brother, my daddy, bought him a car and he wrecked it. And my daddy said, that's it. That's it. He's taught me a lesson. The rest of you boys, never. He said, read my lips. Never. I said, never what, Daddy? He said, are you dumb or what? He said, he wrecked a car, that means you'll probably wreck one too. He said, so here's the deal. When you can lay cash on the table and show me you can pay cash for a car and another pile of cash on the table to show me you can pay for your insurance for 1 year and another little bit of cash on the table to show me you can get by paying your own gas for a month, I'll let you get your license. But until you can do that, you can walk, you can ride a bike, you can borrow. He did say that. You could borrow a car. You could borrow. Remember, I wasn't supposed to get my license. You can borrow. You can thumb. You do whatever you want to do. Now, did you know? So at age 19, I laid a pile of cash on the table. I said, Daddy, I got it. I laid another pile of cash on the table. I said, there it is for insurance for 1 year. I laid a little bitty amount of cash on the table right there. And then I went out and bought myself a Vega. Brother Calhoun, you're a mechanic, you know what I'm talking about. A Vega. It drank more oil than it did gas. But buddy, did it look good. It was red. Yeah. I tell you, I felt like I was somebody. I said, I'll take anybody on and racing them. And then they'd all leave me behind. All right? But do not buy them a car. Now, you may want to, you know, give them some incentives. Say, look, you know, I'll be willing to put $500 down. I'll be willing to go $1,000. I'll be willing to go, you know, $2,000, $3,000, whatever you want to do. But give them some incentive. All right, stim and racks. Okay, always know where they are. Always know where they are. Now, just because they're teenagers doesn't mean you can trust them. You know, Paul said he couldn't trust his own flesh. Jonathan or Josh or Jared, one of the boys, I don't know which one it was, but one of them came to me and said, Daddy, Daddy, they want to do something. Daddy, Daddy, that's what they said. Daddy, Daddy, you act like you don't trust me. I said, well, you got that right. He said, I can't believe you don't trust me. I said, son, I can't even trust my own flesh. What makes you think I'm going to trust yours? Okay, all right, and I've often told him, I can't trust you no further than I can throw you. And it's true. It's true. I couldn't throw them too far. My boys grew fast. Okay? All right? And so always know where they are. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15, the Bible says, the rod and reproof says give instruction. So, or give wisdom. So don't just be somebody, if you will, please, that just uses the rod. Teach them. Give them instruction. Help them to gain wisdom as to what they did wrong and how to make it right. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Statement number last. Stop a bad attitude immediately. Stop a bad attitude immediately. And I'm telling you, if you got younger kids, you don't let that young boy, that young girl rule the nest. Because the way you're letting them run the home now is the way they're going to run you out of the home when they become a teenager. Okay? Well, you tell. Now, I know this is teaching teenagers, and I'm not saying you got to do this to a teenager unless you failed teaching them when they were a child. But we'd take our children, we'd put them in a chair, say, sit there, fold your hands. And when they're kids, you know, just little bitty ones, you know, sit there, fold your hands. And when we come back in, their hands would be unfolded. I said, come here. Now you get back in that chair and you're going to sit down and you're going to fold your hands or you're going to get a spanking. Mr. Woody's going to come visit you. Now go sit there and fold your hands. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
And they go sit down and fold hands. So what, they unfold their hands? Well, we didn't do it. They didn't have to do it for an hour. We didn't punish them, you know. You know. Just for a little while, but we're teaching them to obey. Teach them to obey. When they'd be carrying on inside of a hallway or something, and I couldn't get their attention, I go like this. That means you're too loud. Be quiet. We had all sorts of hand motions and stuff. You know, to be able to get them to try and be quiet. You know, or try to obey. You know, what am I saying? I'm simply saying this. Stop a bad combination immediately. Stop the bad attitude immediately. You know, stop the attitude that they've got. Stop the bad combinations that they have with other people as they become a teenager. Stop it immediately. Here's a kid that grows up with attitude, 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 attitude. Watch this. Then all of a sudden, your kid gets to know that kid, and all they are about is attitude. They've been a spoiled brat all their life, and all they got is attitude. Now watch what happens here. Your teenager gets to know them, and eventually, they will be influenced. They will be influenced. Well, I can't believe their attitude is changing. Find out who they're hanging around. Find out who they're hanging around. I can It's a telltale sign. If they're hanging around somebody that is rebellious against their parents, if you let them hang around that person long enough, what happens is it influences them. It influences them. By the way, let me help you. When you detect there's a teenager that's a rebel, let me help you a little bit. Come here and help me, if you will. And come here and help me, if you will. Yeah, I'll take you too. All right? And so here's what takes place, okay? Yeah, you can act it out. You're pretty good at that acting stuff. All right? All right? Act like a rebel. Just Mr. Jerkweed there. Just act like a rebel, okay? Just rebel, okay? I'm an authority. And I go up to him and say, hey, listen, you know, it'd be good. Preacher's up there preaching. It'd probably be good if you listened and set a good example. Okay. Then here's what I'm going to do. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, now, son, this is my son. I say, now, son, you know, I've seen him, somebody's gotten on to him several times. He doesn't listen to the preaching. He carries on. I don't want you around him. You understand me? He's bad news. You stay away from him. Do you understand me?
Yes.
Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. You say, but oh, you understand. He needs friends. Not as long as he's acting that way, he doesn't. You as a teenager needs to put pressure on him to act right. And eventually, he'll come around because he has no friends. Come on, nod your head this way and say amen or something. Okay? All right? And eventually, he's going to get tired of sitting by himself, acting cool. You know, on the youth activity, a youth director says, come on, everybody plays. And he's too good for it. He don't want to play the activity. I had a rule. You come on the activity, you play everything. You're not going to play everything, you stay home. But you're not going to ruin the other kids. All right? And so I never put up with the cocky stuff. No. You, when you come under me, you're going to obey me.
Yes, sir.
Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
Okay? Just like a basketball coach would want his team to abide by what he says to do on the court, so does a youth director. So does somebody in authority. By the way, if you don't teach them to obey authority, that's easy authority. I'm talking about in church. What are they going to do when the guy at McDonald's said, I said, flip the hamburger? What are they going to do then? Get mad and throw the hamburger in his face? Okay? All right? And so what do you do? You be that strong one. You be that strong one. It would not be bad for a teenager to go walking up and saying, look, man, why don't you straighten up your attitude? Tell him loud where he can hear him. Okay, now they're getting in a fight. Okay, all right. So he says, I'm sorry. But you stop the bad attitudes. Don't let the attitudes prevail. I mean, just don't do that, okay? Look, can I help you out a little bit? If you want a spiritual youth group, then you've got to learn to be spiritual. You want a spiritual church, somebody's got to step up and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. All right, thank you. Be seated. So stop the bad attitudes. Stop the bad combinations. Stop them. The Bible talks about how Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. Now, understand this. Because of that friend and his subtlety, he was very subtle. And because of the subtleness of that friend, what happens is it was pulling the heart of that one away. Okay? You be very, very careful. Teenager, I love you. I'm just trying to help you. Here it is. If there's a teenager that's talking bad about their mom and dad or anybody else in authority in your presence, you need to say, I love you. You might not want to say it in these words, ask mom or dad. But you might want to say, I love you. Shut up. Shut up. You're not going to talk about the youth pastor. You're not going to talk about the Sunday school teacher. You're not going to talk about your parents. You're not going to talk about my parents. You're not going to talk about a deacon. Now, what you need to do, if that's the way you're going to play, put your thumb in your nursery mouth and just keep it shut. But just be quiet. okay? Because if you allow that to continue, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You allow your teenager to become a critic, eventually they will criticize you as a parent. All right, it's going to happen because you're allowing it to continue. The same thing it is in a church, the same thing it is in a business, the same thing it is in rearing little children. But when you see a bad combination, I cannot begin to tell you how many young people. I have said this even to young people. Don't sit with that young person. I've told them as pastor, you don't sit with that young person. They don't behave in church. They don't listen in church. They don't care to listen in church. Now, you need to sit somewhere else. Now, if they don't take heed to me, I'll come back again and say, you didn't hear me the first time. I'm going to tell you again. Okay? But sometimes they say, I just want to do whatever I want to do. And then here's what I find out. Those young people wind up getting out of church, not serving God, because of bad company. Now, can I tell you, be careful of the bad combination.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.